The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you very much. Take your Bible and go back and look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 50. And here's what the Bible says again for our rehearsal's sake here and reading the Word of God again so it instills itself in our hearts. The Bible says, "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.'" I'm going to speak this morning on blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. There are several times in the Bible that God gives us a blessed assurance. Matter of fact, years ago, there was a hymn writer by the name of Fanny Crosby that wrote over 8,000 hymns and songs. One of those 8,000 hymns that God used her to pen was a song that's called Blessed Assurance. And you say, "Well, preacher, that's amazing." Hey, let me tell you something more amazing. Right after birth, she was stricken with blindness. And all the time of serving Christ, all the time of writing songs that could be such a blessing to God's people everywhere around the world, she wrote it with a blind eye. And yet God blessed her in a wonderful way. I'm going to get us all to stand, if you will. Brother Palmer's going to come back. Let's all stand. Take your hymn books. Let's sing that song. You want to this morning? Let's sing it together. Blessed Assurance.
Page number 506, 506 in your songbook. Standing as we sing, we'll sing all the verses, page 506. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a good taste of glory divine. And of salvation, goodness of God. What of this saving, watching in time. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect divine. This is the rapture of the Lord my side. Angels saving, bring from above. Echo the mercy, voices of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior. Sing the last verse, watch me on that chorus, singing together. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness. Sing it. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.
Singing. Be seated, please, if you will. And this morning, I want to speak on blessed assurance. And can I tell you, as I heard that song being sung so many times down through the years, I would imagine Fanny Crosby sitting there with pen in hand, eyes not be able to see, but be able to write the riches of that song right there for you and me. And so thank the Lord for that, many other songs that she wrote. But in the Bible, God gives us some blessed assurances. As I read in our scripture a few moments ago in Luke chapter 8 and verse 50, where the Bible talks about how the Lord told those that were the household of the maiden that had now died, that they're only supposed to believe. In verse 51, you'll see in Luke chapter 8, he gathers into the house Peter and James and John, the father and the mother of this one. And as they go into a room, you'll see that the father and the mother begin to wail. They begin to weep. They begin to cry over that one that was dead. In verse 53, you'll see that now Jesus had already made a statement that she's not dead. She's just asleep. And I believe it's the father and the mother that's in that room. I can't imagine that it's Peter, James, or John that begins to laugh and to scorn. The word scorn means to criticize. I mean, after all, they've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. They have walked beside the living God. And so they've known Jesus to be able to do miraculous things in his life. So I can't imagine that it would be Peter, James, or John that begins to laugh the scorn, but I believe it had to be that mama and daddy. And so as Jesus makes that statement to the father, the mother, that, oh no, the maiden is not dead. She just now sleeps. The Bible says that they begin to laugh the scorn, those that were others in the room, which was mom and dad. And then the Bible says in verse 54 that he put them all out and he took her by the hand. He said unto her, "Maid, arise." Now listen to it in verse 55. And the spirit came again and rose. The Bible says she arose straightway as he had commanded her. Now watch this. The very first thing almost sounds like a teenager, doesn't it? The very first thing she wants is the Bible says that he commanded her to give her meat. So can you imagine a teenager all of a sudden being raised from the dead? Doesn't want to run in and see mama. Doesn't want to run in and see daddy. Oh, no. But the Savior knows exactly what she wants and says, bring her some meat. Now, can I tell you, boy, about teenagers, boy, do they love to eat. And that is for sure. But then you'll see in verse 56, the Bible says that her parents was astonished. Now, why were they astonished? They were astonished that what God did do. Now, can I tell you, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You can be astonished at how God works inside of your life. You have a story that nobody else can tell. All of us have different backgrounds. All of us come from different places. But can I tell you, when the grace of God opens up in your life and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a story that is parallel to nobody else's story because God deals with you as an individual and God works in your life as an individual. I remember coming up to the age of 6, I was not raised by my parents. I did not know my parents very well at all, but I was raised on a 180-acre farm in Millers, Maryland, and that was by Mr. and Mrs. Wagner, Paul Wagner, that raised me. And can I tell you that coming up on that farm, I learned a lot of things before I met up with mom and daddy. I learned a lot of things about the farm. And later on, I'd go back and I'd work many, many hours on that farm up to the age of 16 and 17 until they sold the place. But I remember working in the fields and working on the tractors and bringing in the hay and being a part of the planting team and stuff like that. I remember many, many hours just laboring and laboring and laboring. And then do I remember them working in the summer house and fixing up that sausage and all the canning and all the jarring that went on and things of that nature. And there was good memories there. Can you imagine the memory that this girl had the rest of the days of her life simply because the Savior showed up in her life? And all the days of her life, she could remember blessed assurance because God had worked in her life. Now, let me show you a couple of things that God is doing for us, how God gives us a blessed assurance. Statement number one, Jesus gives us a blessed assurance in prayer. In prayer. You know, Jesus assures us over and over and over again that God is the one that answers prayer. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, the Bible says, and when he had ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Isn't it interesting that the disciples that traveled with Jesus over and over again, they heard him preach. And by the way, nobody could preach like the Son of God. They heard him preach, but they didn't say to the Lord, teach us how to preach. They didn't do that. They watched the Lord give over and over and over again. Nobody gave like our Lord, but they didn't go to the Lord and said, teach us how to give. They didn't do that. Nobody was good like our Lord. I mean, he practiced goodness everywhere he went. But can I tell you, they did not go to the Lord and say, Lord, teach us how to be good people. They did not do that. Here's what they did. They went to the Lord and they said, hey, would you teach us how to pray as John's disciples learned how to pray from him? And can I tell you, we can have the assurance of prayer as God gives us the pattern of prayer. Then the Bible talks about how we're supposed to pray in his name. John chapter 14, verse 14. The Bible says, and if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we're supposed to come to him and pray. Now you say, well, preacher, I tell you what, I know everything about prayer. Well, if that be true, how often do you practice prayer? You know, God is the one that answers prayer. When you have a hard time, you might not can help yourself. But can I tell you this? God can help you every single time. When it seems like difficulty comes your way, you can rely on the God of the Bible, and the God of the Bible will be able to answer your prayer and show you the direction in which you're supposed to go. And so the Bible says we're supposed to ask in his name. Then the Bible says that he's able to answer prayer. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. By the way, blessed assurance. He assures us about prayer. You have a God that not only hears prayer. Listen to me, friend. You have a God that will answer prayer. That will answer prayer. Don't be afraid to pray. Don't be afraid to get along with God. You say, but God is disappointing me. Well, can I tell you, God is not the disappointer, and I'm sorry that you're disappointed in God, because God can come through. Never give up on God. Never think, well, if God would only change. Oh, he's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But can I tell you, the problem is not God changing. The problem is you and I changing. We're supposed to conform to his image. When somebody gets out of place, let me help you. When somebody gets out of place, it's not God that gets out of place. It's you and I that get out of place. All right? And we're supposed to go back and get in place with God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So God is able to answer those prayers. Whenever you get so discouraged that you stop praying, can I tell you, it is time to pray more. It is time to go to God more. You know, when you get so physically out of shape, that you feel like just giving up, that's the time to work on your physical body more. When you feel like your mind is so lazy that it doesn't want to study and it doesn't want to learn, that's the time you ought to be studying and learning even more. When you don't feel like coming to church, that's when you need church worse. When you don't feel like reading your Bible, that's when you need to read the Bible more. You're not supposed to submit to your old wicked flesh. You're supposed to bring that flesh into submission to a holy God. I'm saying this morning. Jesus gives us the assurance of prayer. Statement number next. Jesus gives us the assurance in temptation. Whenever you are tempted, God can give you assurance. Jude 24, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So he's able to keep you from falling. My daddy used to work on high-rise buildings. And what my daddy would do is when he had to get on a high-rise building and it was dangerous, you know what he did? He strapped a rope around him. Now, the reason he put a rope around him, because if, by chance, he were to fall, he would still be in safe holding by the rope. Now, can I tell you, you're in safe holdings by the rope and by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you do not have to fall and stay fallen. Oh, no. He can be there to help you up. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, there is no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So God says, with every temptation that comes your way, there's a way to bear it. Now, by the way, that's also at the supper table. You sit down and all of a sudden grandma fixed that delicious meal. Oh, and it's set before you and your taste buds. I mean, your tongue is just flapping itself so wild, it's hitting your brain from one side to the other side, and it's saying, feed me, feed me, feed me. But sometimes you do have to say no. Hello? Have you ever done this? Have you ever sat down at the supper table and you ate too much? Oh, it felt good going in, but once it got in there, it didn't feel so good. Once it landed, it was like, oh, man, I ate too much. I just overate. Now, can I tell you, sometimes you just have to say no and walk away. Hello? Sometimes you fellas need to say no about putting in so many hours and go home and spend time with your wife. Sometimes you need to say no about putting in so many hours and go home and rear your children for God. Sometimes we just have to say no about things. Now, can I tell you this morning? Here we see there is the assurance in temptation. James chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. All right? So God says this. God said there is assurance in temptation. You do not have to be overcome by temptation. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I'm in a hurry, so I need to speed down the highway. You don't have to be overcome by temptation. Oh, but I just feel like that everybody needs to know about that certain person, and so I'm going to down them and criticize them and hurt them and try to destroy them. You don't have to be overcome by temptation. God makes a way to escape. He makes a way that each and every person can escape any temptations that they might have in their life. So Jesus is their assurance in prayer. He's their assurance in temptation. Watch this. Jesus is their assurance in guidance. In guidance. You know, God wants to give us good guidance in our life. Oh, yes. Did you know when you're in the valley, God can guide you through the valley? Did you know that when you're in your lowest state of being, that God can raise you up out of the abyss? I'm saying this. I'm saying that Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. You know, you don't have to have a lot to be content. I've seen people live under bridges and they're content. I have. I've seen people live in tents. They're content. I've seen people live in, if I may say so, despicable places, but yet they're content. You can be content. You say, but you understand, preacher, I just don't have everything I want to have. Well, how about waiting on God? Because God is the one that can supply. How about letting God be the one that can supply for the needs that you have in your life? Just because you have them now. I know six-year-old children that want to drive, but that doesn't mean it's the proper timing. I know nine-year-old kids that want to drive, but that doesn't mean it's the proper timing. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you and I need to understand that there's God's guidance in this. He'll guide us by using the Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 105, the Bible says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So from the Word of God, I can know what to do. Oh, but preacher, I'm just so disturbed. I just don't know what to do. Here's what you do. You open up the Bible and let God guide you. It's the best guidebook you ever have. We first started traveling in evangelism many years ago. They didn't have GPSs. Who knew? We didn't have the cell phones. No. So funny, the other day, a grandson was talking to his granddad, and I was talking to the grandfather of the grandson, and the grandson started asking questions and saying, well, listen, when you were younger, did you have iPads? And the grandfather said, no, we didn't have iPads when I was young. Did you have iPhones? No, we didn't have iPhones. Did you have flat screen? The grandson said to the grandfather, he said, no, we did not have flat screen. He said, did you live during the time of Abraham? You know, most of the children and even teenagers today, you would not have known how to live back in the day when there wasn't iPhones. I came up when there was the rotary phone. Yeah. We had a 24-foot cord in the house. So the phone would ring, and my mom said, bring me the phone. We didn't just pull out a phone and say, here, Mom. No, we're carrying it and carrying the cord. Here, Mom. You know? I'm saying this. I'm saying that in our day, we're blessed. But you got to be careful about our technology today because here's what you do. Instead of reading a book now, most people don't even read. They have to get an app that reads to them. Hello? We are in a society today that we want everything easy, and we're raising lazy kids. Hey, whatever happened to a guy getting a shovel and learning how to work with a shovel? Whatever happened to somebody getting a rake and learning how to rake? You tell the average teenage boy, hey, I want you to mow the lawn, have it done. How do I do that? They don't know how to start a motor. They don't know how a mower. They don't know how to put oil in it. They don't know how to push it. And if it's not one of those automatic things that pulls the teenager along, they have no idea how to use these muscles. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that God gives us some assurances in the Bible. There is some assurances about prayer. And by the way, it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter how old you are. I'm saying this. God still wants us to practice prayer. It doesn't matter what your background is, but God still wants us to overcome temptation. There's no reason that children of God ought to succumb to problems in their life and those problems overwhelm them because you have a bigger God than you have a problem that's in your life. I'm saying this. I'm saying that Jesus is also our assurance and guidance. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's capital S, talking about God's Spirit, the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So God says one of the evidences of your Christianity or that you are a child of God is the fact that you let God lead you. So here's my question, dear beloved friend. How often do you let God lead you? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to let somebody else lead me. God is better. God can give you more insight. I say this morning, I say that Jesus is our assurance in prayer. He's our assurance in temptation. He's our assurance in guidance. Let me hasten. He's our assurance in eternal life. The Bible talks about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set, listen to it, was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, now wait a minute. So he's the author and finisher of my faith. Man, I'm so glad I'm saved. Yeah, there's nothing like being saved. I remember from whence I came, and I met the Master, my Savior, and I know from where I do go. I mean, I'm excited in the fact that, look, can I tell you, there's nothing like being saved. I was over in the Philippines, and I was having trouble, and the only way I can communicate, people call me in the Philippines, I can never answer the phone. It's not according to the plan that we purchased. I can only do the text, and so I was texting people back and forth and stuff like that, but I had some things I was working on with some of the staff and whatnot, and so I tried to email some things back, and I could not figure out. It just would not work, and I'm not a high-tech guy. I mean, ask anybody. I'm just not there, and I don't know if I'll ever be there. But I thank God for young people. I thank God for younger people, younger adults. So I called downstairs, and I said, look, I'm having trouble with my computer. And I said, I've got to connect up to the internet. I've got emails that have to go out to preachers and also to staff. And I've got to get these emails out. And you've got to help me. And so the young man came up and he walked into the room and he laughed. And he said, oh, this is a piece of cake. I said, for you? I said, but can you help me out? And he said, yeah, I'll try and help you. He got on my computer and he couldn't figure it out. I was so happy. I said, what do you mean you can't figure it out? Aren't you the IT guy of the hotel? He said, yeah, I'm it. He said, but there must be something wrong with the room. He's taking my computer and holding it up, walking around the room. He said, there must be something wrong in this room. I said, yeah, I figured that out. I said, so what are we going to do? He said, we're going to move you to another room. So they moved me down the hallway, and there was a, I don't know what you call it, an extension jack or whatever. What's it called? Yeah, hot spot. Yeah, it was hot. And so moved me down underneath a hot spot. And he said, now it should be better here. I said, great. So he got on the little computer thingy, and he said, I'm connected. He said, we did it. I said, we nothing. Yeah, all you did was move me to a different room. I said, but let me ask you a question. Are you connected with God? He said, what do you mean by that? I said, let me, are you connected to God? I mean, if you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Are you connected to God? And he said, I've never heard how you could connect up with God. I said, well, for the past 45 minutes, you and I have tried to connect up to the internet, and that's not worked. But I can take less than 45 minutes and show you how to connect up with God, and I can assure you the connection will work. Amen. And he said, well, I think I'd be interested in that. I said, well, you don't have nothing to do. Sit down. So he sat down on the edge of the bed. I took my Bible. I sat down beside him. I showed him how he could connect up with the holy God. And can I tell you, he got saved. Yeah. Hey, there is nothing, I'm telling you, nothing like having eternal life. You can't beat that with a stick. Hey, can I tell you, our society is strung out on drugs. What they ought to be is strung out on Jesus. I'm saying this, that there is the assurance of eternal life. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 25, the Bible says, for ye were as sheep going astray. It says, but are now returned unto the shepherd. It says, the bishop of your souls. Listen to it. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. My dad loved these verses. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So you have a double affirmity. Here's the believer. The Bible says that Jesus holds the believer. You got it? That's one affirmity, one assurance. But then the Bible says that the Father holds on to that which is Jesus and you. But you cannot get unsaved if you wanted to get unsaved. Well, I don't feel saved. That doesn't mean nothing. Sometimes you don't feel married, but you are. Well, I don't feel like I'm important. That doesn't matter. You're still important to God whether you feel like it or not. Do we understand this morning? Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that there is the assurance of eternal life. Statement number one, there's the assurance in prayer. Statement number two, assurance in temptation. Statement number three, assurance in guidance. Statement number four, assurance in eternal life. Let me give you two more and I'm done. Statement number next, the assurance in death. The assurance in death. Listen to it. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. So he has the keys, listen to it, to death. He said, hell, stay with me, hell and death. Now, what's that mean? That means that he's in charge of your death. Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You can be as healthy as a coon dog running down the middle of a meadow. But can I tell you, if it's time for you to die, you'll die. God says it's appointed unto man. In other words, on God's prophetic calendar, your name is already on the date that you're going to die. But he has the keys to death. That's why old Hezekiah had it down right. Hezekiah lived his life for God, lived his life for God, lived his life for God. And when it came time to die, he reminded God how he lived his life for him. And God said, okay, now I'll give you 15 more years. You know, better than going to a spa or a clinic to get physically fit, it might be best for you to learn how to obey God. Amen. Because as you obey God, God is the one that can stretch your life or make your life smart. He's in charge of the calendar of your life. Amen. So if I were you, I would find out what pleased God and just decide you're going to please him. He is in control. I know a lot of time men think that they're in control. Hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to a spa, or I'm going to go to some exercise place. And I'm not against that. I'm not against that. Some of God's children look like they need that worse than you know. So I'm not against that. I'm not against eating right. I'm not against that. But and that might give you a healthier lifestyle, but it's not going to add one day to your life. Oh, no. God's in charge of how long you live. If I were you, I would decide that here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live for God all the days of my life. And so now when it comes in time to be able to meet my maker, here's what I'll do. I'll contact God and say, God, here's the way I live for you and the direction I went. And God, would you please give me some extra days? Now, God can do that. I said he can do that. You have not because you ask not. I think we spend so much time putting praise on man. I think we spend way too much time spending time praising ourselves and trying to work things out. Well, let me tell you, I think that, boy, according to my financial planning here, I can give God just this fraction of amount right here. But what about when God says, give and it shall be given unto you? Where's our faith? Why don't we trust him like the Bible says? I think because we're contaminated. We get so contaminated by that which is worldly, fleshly thinking that we don't rely on God. We live in such a society nowadays that is anti this and anti that, but can I tell you, I'm pro God. Listen, we ought to decide that this morning, understand that he is the one that has the assurance in death. Psalm 23 and verse 4, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He says, yea, though I walk. I've often said this, that when you're going through a valley in your life, don't sit down and suck your thumb. Well, I guess I'm just going to take a reprieve. I'm going through a valley, and so I guess I just won't serve God till I make it through the valley. That's not how you go through a valley. God said the way to go through a valley is to walk through the valley. Here, we take the youngest guy up here. Come here, if you will. Watch this. So here's the valley. Here's the valley. He is not supposed to sit down in the valley. You see, people get discouraged and down. They sit in the valley and suck their thumb. They sit and suck their thumb. That's what they do in the valley. They just sit there and suck their thumb. Woe is me. You ever hear people like that? Whoa, I'm going through such a difficult time. I just don't know if I can make it. Well, why don't you come to church? Oh, I'm just having so much trouble. Why don't you come to church? Oh, it's so hard. I just don't think I can make it. Well, the problem is you're stuck on you. Okay, I'll duck on that one. God doesn't say you're supposed to sit down, have self-pity. Well, I want everybody to feel sorry for me. They feel sorry that they are you. That you are you, not they are you. All right? So he don't want you to sit down. It's like, he don't want you to do this either. Come here, come here. He don't want you to run through your valley. You call that run? He don't want you to, ready? Here. Ready? On your mark. Get set. Okay, anyway. He don't want you to run through your valley. He don't want you to do that. Because as you're running through your valley, you don't see all the things that God wants you to see. Amen. Slow down. You ever go out on a Sunday afternoon, maybe a Saturday afternoon, maybe you had a stressful day at work, and you decide, hey, I'm going to drive through a country area. You come out to where I live in Forney. And you can go from Forney over to Rockwall, places like that, country area, drive through. You can see springs. You can see farms. You can see, if you go from my place over to Balk Springs, if you take the back road, you can see cows everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, they do exist. You can see horses. Yeah. You see birds flying freely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Did you know? Go out to where Jared and Debbie just bought their farm. Man, you see all sorts of, you see chickens running here and horses that show up at different places, at different people's houses, and they say, what do I do with the horse? And, you know, so far they've lived out on the farm. How long, Debbie? How long? 4 months. And all of a sudden they looked in the backyard and there's some horses there in their yard. And it took them about 8 hours to figure out who, because the people didn't even miss them. I called Jerry last night and said, hey, man, just checking on you. How's it going? He said, we got goats. I said, what do you mean you got goats? He said, I don't know. They just showed up. You know, now, can I tell you this? Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying that here's what we do understand. We understand this. We understand that God is the one that wants us to walk through the valleys. I think so many times people, you go through struggles in your life, and here's what you do, and I love you, but here's what you do. You sit down, and you say, boy, I tell you what, life is so sad, only because you want it to be. Life hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. Victory hasn't changed. Answer to prayer hasn't changed. God has not moved. But here's what happens. And then some people do the opposite. They try and get through their valleys, Doc, as quick as they can. Man, I'm just going to run through this. I got to get out. I got to get out. I just can't stand it. You know, and they're falling apart. And then they run through their valleys. And they don't learn nothing. Then God says, okay, you didn't learn it this time. Guess what? I've got to send you another valley. Isn't it the way it is? If you don't pass the test, you got to take it again. If you don't pass that test, you got to take it again. If you don't pass that test, you got to take it again. And before you know it, your whole life is nothing but valleys. God said, I have a valley for you. That's it. I want you to walk through it, learn, get up, get over it, and go away. But no, didn't learn something, so God said, okay, didn't learn it this time, got another one for you. Didn't learn it this time, got another one for you. Didn't learn it this time, got another one for you. And before you know it, you walk through your entire life, and at the end of your life, here's what you say, oh, it's been horrible. I've had nothing but valleys. Now, I love you, but I had pity on you. Because it doesn't have to be that way. You have a God that can help you. You have a God that can work in your life. You've got a God that can answer prayer. You've got a God that can come through for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, I hasten to a close. The Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, even through death, you can have victory. I've been beside the deathbeds of dying saints, and they're happy all the way up till they take their last breath. I've been beside the deathbeds of dying saints that are sad, fearful, all the way up to their dying death. Why? Why is there such a grave difference? It might be because of the way that they view their Heavenly Father. I'm saying this, statement number one, the assurance in prayer, the assurance in temptation. Statement number two, statement number three, the assurance of guidance. Statement number four, the assurance in eternal life. Statement number five, the assurance in death. Here it is, I'm done. The assurance in the resurrection. The assurance in the resurrection. Listen to it, and I'm done. Here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord shall raise you up, or says, shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. So the same way that he raised, okay, you think about this, Lazarus in the grave, 4 days, he stinketh. You know, and all of a sudden the Lord raised him up. What did the Lord say? He said, Lazarus, called his name. Lazarus, come forth. Why did he call his name? I'll tell you why. Because if he didn't call his name, he simply would have said, come forth. Every single believer on that day, I believe, would have came forth. But he said, Lazarus, you ever think about this? Lazarus. I wonder how many Lazarus popped out of the grave that day. I wonder, man, Lazarus over here, 14 over here, 19 over here, 25 over here. I don't know. You get to heaven, you can ask. Watch this. The Bible talks about a new body. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, I'm almost done, one more verse after this. The Bible says in our conversation, it says, is in heaven. From whence also we look, it says, for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new body. The Bible says, who shall be changed? It says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. All right, so we're going to have a new body. I can't wait. My mother died of cancer. She died when she's 54. I remember my mother when she died, frail and bony. That's it. Cancer had eaten and eaten and eaten and destroyed her from the inside out. I remember my dad coming up. My dad was a man's man, very masculine, muscles, had a chest that was as big as a football field. I mean, he was the man. I remember when cancer overtook his body. It changed him. That cancer ate him from the inside out. All the muscles deteriorated. When he died a bony man. Now, can I tell you, watch this. Watch this. Here the Bible teaches that you and I in heaven will be like he is. When I see my mother, she's not going to be the bony woman that I saw that died. When I see my dad, he's not going to be the both my parents wore glasses. In heaven, perfect vision. Perfect vision. As the cancer overtook their body, they went from walking straight with vitality and energy to stooping over, slumping, and pulling themselves, dragging their feet. In heaven, perfect body. Perfect body. You see, my mother used to do this. She used to say, Mike, give me my kiss. She liked my kisses. My wife does too. My mother would say, Mike, give me my kisses. Mom was an unusual, unique woman. Very much a person of etiquette. And she would say, Mike, give me the kiss. I get ready to go to bed. I'd always tease her because I always would go after her lips and she would say, no, that's reserved for your daddy. I like it right here. So she would bend her forehead, close her eyes, I guess afraid I might miss. And I kiss her right there. I haven't kissed Mom in years. But every night that Mom went to bed, that I was home, she would always say, Mike, where's my kiss? Yes, ma'am. I'd be in my 20s. Mike, where's my kiss? Yes, ma'am. Always go over and kiss her, same place. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. One day when I get to heaven, Mom's going to say, okay, where's my kiss? She's going to close her eyes, bend over, and I'm going to kiss her right here just to make her mad. Now, I'm saying here, I'm saying that resurrection is going to be a wonderful time. Amen. Wonderful time. God has the answer to every single problem that's in your life. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. May you always keep him as yours, and your life will be blessed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.